Go to Matthew 6. I believe what I'm going to talk to you about tonight is probably, my opinion, the single greatest attribute you need to have. It's a developed attribute, and anybody can develop it. It's one of the single greatest, because this attribute that I'm going to talk to you about tonight can lead you to all other fruits of God, all the other inheritances, all that God has. This attribute can cause you and help you obtain it. Amen. Without this attribute, you're not going to have the rest of those, not in a consistent manner. If you don't develop this one thing, your life's going to get interrupted a lot. You're going to dwell in frequency, out of frequency, in harmony, out of harmony. If you develop this and allow the Holy Spirit, allow the Lord to develop this attribute, He's going to teach you a way of harmony. I lived a whole lot of my life and a whole lot of my ministry out of harmony with God. Never measure a man by his anointing, because you can get up here and do anything in anointing. It's what you are behind it, what you are the other 7 days a week. Amen. Boy, when you learn this, life will level out, a calm will come, freedom will come, and He'll get you ready for true faith. I'm in like a 10-month stand of faith now, and I'm amazed, because by then I would have been discouraged a long time ago, but because I have this one attribute, I can hold the line. When God's having assigned you faith, a lot of times we give up way before, and we say it must not have been God, and the enemy talks you out of it. But to have this kind of faith requires this kind of attribute. The attribute I'm talking about tonight is focus. And I'm not going to just say kingdom focus, because that is a very general term, kingdom focus. I want to say more specific focus, focus into union. When the Lord said, if you abide, there's a big if there. You cannot truly abide in the Lord on a consistent basis without focus. That is an impossibility, because the enemy will offset your focus. He is very, very skilled at that. Trust me on this. He's very skilled. Even in this church, when we preach this stuff day in, day out, all the time, he's still continually trying to offset our focus. I'm going to teach you some things about focus and how to keep it, how to develop it, and where it can take you. I said this the other day, that focus, in some sense of the word, is greater than love. Because focus can bring you to the love. Not only can it bring you there, it can keep you there. Amen? Focus can bring you into the rest and keep you into the rest. Focus can bring you into the union and keep you there. Anybody can ascend in. And we've all found out, I mean, anybody can get up into the high places with hunger, but to stay there will require a focus. Amen? Honed, encompassed by His Word. Amen? So let's go to Matthew 6. We'll start here. If I could just tell you what focus does for your faith. If God can get you into a focused position, He can set you in a place of faith that can actually literally change the generation you live in and the generation that others are living in. You can literally change and shift things, because He will set you on a course that you become immovable. People think great faith is just standing there being great faith. Listen, you can get worn down very quick trying to have great faith. But if you have focus, focus can keep you in there. Amen? A long time after your strength is gone, focus can keep you in. Amen? Glory. Hallelujah. Okay, Matthew. The whole chapter, this is actually the Lord's Prayer, and He talked about the Lord's Prayer. He's still talking about the Lord's Prayer. And He talked about the position of the Lord's Prayer. When you pray, enter into your sanctuary, shut the door, pray to your Father in secret. So what I'm talking about tonight is where this eye of focus is developed. Go to verse 22. The light of the body, the light of your new man, the light that you walk in is the eye. You can say it like this. The light of the kingdom of God within you is the eye of the heart. It comes from the eye of the heart. Amen? What you do with the eye of the heart will determine where you're going. The enemy already is setting a compass for the eye of your heart. You just don't know it. The time you walk out that door, he is trying to refrequency. He's trying to retune the eye of your heart into his frequency. Because if he can move the eye of your heart into his frequency, see, the eye of the heart, everything follows the eye. Amen. I cannot see if I don't have light. The light of the body is the eye. If mine eye be single, that means alpha and interwoven like a basket. Two words there in the Greek. Alpha, interwoven like a basket. I call it the interwoven eye. You have to get the eye of your heart interwoven into the alpha of Christ. You have to get the eye of your heart interwoven into him. Amen. As you move the eye of the heart and as it gets interwoven into Christ, your body, your spirit man is going to fill up with the light of heaven. Amen. And you're going to walk in that light and you're not going to stumble and you're not going to live in a cloudiness or a daze. You're not going to be dazed and confused. You're going to stay in a light. You're going to stay in a very specific place with God that's been honed in by the compass of heaven. Amen. So it says the light of the body is the eye. If I be single or singularly interwoven into Christ, your whole body is going to be full of light. That's awesome. Because there's nothing like walking that kind of light. Because today, I was able to put the enemy down. I was able to go all the way to the top of the mountain. I was able to live out all of this day in just pretty much peace, joy, happiness. And I'm like, oh, this is awesome. I'm ready for tomorrow. Praise God. Amen. If mine eye be evil. Ooh, don't give me that evil eye. That word is poneris. Say the poneris eye. That means, actually, it's not the evil you think of. It can be related to sin and things like that. If your eye is full of that, then your whole body is going to be full of darkness. But more importantly, is if your eye is full of labors, toils, harassments. If your eye is continually being subject to toil, labor, harassments, and your frequency is constantly being misaligned. Amen? Your whole body is going to be full of light because your eye is going to get turned into the system of the world and the enemy is going to flood it with the system of the world. Doesn't mean you're not saved. Doesn't mean you're not walking with God. But what has happened is he's moved you off the course that the Lord requires to take you higher. See, people think God's just going to come in and take them higher, just knock on your door and say, time to come up higher. That doesn't work that way. You can stay in the same place for 20, 30, 40 years. Amen. To go up higher, you have to tune the frequency into Christ, and he has to lead you into a higher place. In order for you to see where he's going to lead you, you have to have that eye being singularly interwoven in you, because that's how he leads you. Amen? Especially in the mountain of God. The way he's leading you, he's not going to just speak audibly to you and say, hey, come up here. He's going to lead you by that singularly interwoven eye. And when it's highly developed, you'll know where he is all the time. You'll know how to get to him, and you'll constantly be with him where he is. And that results in harmony. And that results in rest. And that results in peace, strength, victory, grace, wisdom, and being positioned in the Jordan when other people don't even know the ark's in the Jordan. I have some friends that walk in deep places that have no clue where the ark is. We have a clue because our eye has been honed into the Lord and we are where the ark is. Would you rather be where the ark is or running around the wilderness? In order to stand next to that ark, you have to see. In order to see, that eye has to be interwoven into him. You won't stand next to the ark if your eye is not interwoven in him. The enemy will interweave it into the systems of the world. That doesn't mean just sin. It can be his systems of toil, harassment, labors. And then what he does, he clouds you over. How many of you ever felt the cloudiness? It's like drudgery to walk with God when you're clouded over. Because there's nothing. I mean, you wake up with nothing. You go to prayer with nothing. And unless you have a very skilled faith, you don't know how to cut through the atmosphere. And so you just live in the drudgery. Anybody want to dwell in the drudgery? Listen, it doesn't matter how you feel about it. God already signed you up for his mountain. The reason I know that, because you're here. And if he didn't sign you up for his mountain, you wouldn't be here. Amen? You're signed up for the process, so you might as well like it. If you don't like it, you're going to have to lump it. Amen? Amen. So we want that single eye. When you go to Ephesians 1, this needs to be a prayer that you pray every day. Ephesians 1, if you're very prone to being very distracted, you need to pray this prayer a lot. Ephesians 1, 17, pray this prayer. Understand what you're praying. It's there for a reason. that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. This is the one. The eyes of your heart. That word understanding means heart. Being enlightened. There's another translation I like a lot better. It says the eyes of your heart be flooded with light. You must keep light all the time. Light will be a result of your abiding, but in your ascent, you have to get light. The Holy Spirit will give you light. Amen. God will answer that prayer. You have to pray it all the time. You want to shed the darkness and put on the light. Amen. Sometimes you're veiled. And sometimes you don't know your veil and you wear a veil and it can't get through. And some of those veils have to be surrendered. That's why I always go into the baptism before I do anything else. When I get into the door, I'm going to go into that pool of baptism, Jordan River, however you want to see it. But I'm going in there because I'm shedding the old man. I want to get off, take off the things that are in the way. Amen. The veils that are in the way. I want to take you to another place. Say the eyes of our heart flooded with light. And you want to flood it with revelation, because the entrance of thy word bringeth light. But God will give you light. It's called the abiding light. It's an amazing light. And then he gives you light from his word. Those are the two major light sources. Amen. Glory to God. Get your light sword working by the word of God. Hallelujah. You got to pray for light. Pray the eyes of the heart flooded with light. I pray that sometimes 5 times a day. If I'm struggling, I'm praying all the time for the eyes of the heart flooded with light. Why? Because I got to get my eye retuned into him. Amen. I got to get my eye into that frequency with him. How many of you know what I'm talking about? When you get in that frequency, it starts happening. You start seeing again. Amen. The worst thing ever is to be blind and think you can see. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now we're talking about the kind of light that can move you up in the mountain of God. That comes by a specific revelation. It's kind of interesting that that ark sat in that Jordan until the Bible said it sat in the Jordan until that Joshua had spoken all that the Lord had commanded him to speak. When he had finished speaking the whole thing, when it was done, when the house's foundations completed, then the Lord spoke to Joshua, says, now call the ark out from the Jordan. Do you know how close we are to that? Do you have any idea? That is when the ark will converge with the crown. That is Zechariah 10 right there. That's a Revi right there. That ark will converge with the crown as soon as that happens. That's what calls the shabam. David was no ordinary king. He had the crown and the ark together. That's what made it happen. That was the fireworks. God's going to do that again. The ark and the crown. The ark is sitting in the Jordan. When it comes over in the promised land, it's going to converge. All I can say is get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. Seeing then we have such a hope. He says, we use great plainness of speech, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face. Children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Just because we're outside of the law doesn't mean there's still veils. There are veils. When they're veiled, it's amazing. You can say something, they can't hear you. They hear something different than what you say. It's interpreted different. Because the veil oftentimes, and sometimes it's not a spirit, sometimes it's just the veil. Sometimes it's a spirit that is on you. Sometimes it's a spirit in you. But no matter what it is, if it's veiling you, you'll hear something different. Or you won't hear it at all. Or it won't have the impact. The light won't come on. That's why sometimes you have to hear something again and again and again. So the veil breaks. When the veil breaks, the light goes. The veil broke. Amen. The veils have to go. Amen. Their minds were blinded. When you got a veil, your mind gets blinded. Your spiritual mind gets blinded. That's why it's so good, even if you are veiled, to keep listening. Listen to somebody, revelation. Somebody, listen to the meat. Because you're going to be listening. How many times have you done that? You start listening, all of a sudden, it just, pow, it hits. The Holy Spirit lit. What he did is he moved past that veil, and he broke that word, broke in past that veil, and it shattered the veil. When he shatters the veil, you're moving up. Amen? Verse 18. But we all, say we all, that'd be all of us, with open face, unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed in his same image from glory to glory. Say glory to glory. We can behold the glory of the Lord in his rest. We can hold the glory of the Lord in his life, which is really starting to come on strong now. We can hold the glory of the Lord in the love. We can hold the glory of the Lord in promise. You can hold the glory of the Lord. You're changed into that same image. That's a word, that word change, the same image from glory to glory. That's the same word as transformation, transfiguration. We're transfigured. I'm actually believing for that now, the light of transfiguration. So if I come in here glowing like a light bulb, you'll know what happened. Praise God. I believe we're going to wear some of our glorified state for the world to see before we get lifted out of here. Go to Psalms 27. So we have to have an unveiled face. Amen. Now, the way that you're going to do that is focus. The only way is to get the eye of your heart in front of the Lord every day. And that's why he said, if a man follow me, let him take up his cross and follow me and die today. You'll have to die to a certain level of things, but you don't have to do that on your own. We're finding out we don't have to die on our own. It's awesome to find out I don't have to die on my own. And I'm not the one dying. It's the old man dying. So we're getting the thing out of the way that needs to be out of the way. Amen. That his burial, his baptism, his crucifixion is still alive today. Just as his resurrection is alive, so is the power of his burial. And all you got to do is get your old man in the frequency of his burial, and it'll start. The winnowing fork will start the separation process and the burial process, and then the resurrection of the new man. God is never, ever, ever going to bury your new man. He does not bury the identity of Christ in you. And he buries the old man. Neither does God have you wear the old man as the identity of Christ. When he's saying you die daily, walk around like you're crucified or something, and poor woe is me, that is not the image he's talking about. I have to get the old man out of the way so I can get my heart in front of him, so the eye of my heart can be flooded with the light that he gives. Psalms 27:4 says, one thing I desire to the Lord that I will seek after, that I may, what? Dwell all the days of in the house of the Lord, all the days of my life, and behold, say, dwell, behold, and inquire. In that order, dwell. I come to dwell with you. I come to behold you. Then I inquire. I don't inquire first. I don't inquire. I dwell and I behold. My eye has to be set. In Psalms 91, he says, because he set his love upon me, I will deliver him and I will set him on high. See, you set your love upon him. You set, and the way you do that is not through lip service. Listen, God loves the lip service. He loves everything you can give him, trust me. But he loves more than anything when you are focused. When all of you, when you meet his original mandate, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, all of you in a focused position, loving him, in a focused position where my mind, my heart, everything's coming to a harmony, in a focused harmony, and I am there with Christ. See, Christ is your mediator. He is the one that's going to help you get into that position. You're going to come to him every day out of position. I don't care how spiritual you are. You're not going to just live in that place all the time. You're going to come to him, and he is going to be your mediator. And the sooner you realize he's for you, he's going to accept you the way you are. He is there to get you realigned. He is there to align you every day. That's what he does. He's the great exchange. I come in out of alignment, I come out full, in harmony, in alignment, frequencied with him, harmonized. I come in with disharmony, I come out with harmony. He is that one that does that. So when you come into him, the first thing I do, see, I don't bury people. So if I got an issue with somebody, I don't go to the burial first. I might have an issue with, with them, but really the issues with the thing with them. So I go to the Lord and I surrender the person to the Lord. Say, Father, I know you love this person. I love this person. I surrender this person to you. You gotta surrender the person. You might be having an issue with somebody, but they are not your problem. You have to first surrender them before you go to burial. Don't go taking somebody. I bury this person in the baptism. I'm taking them all the way down. Don't even let them rise up again, God. A lot of our issues are revolving around people. Amen? And so when you go there, you have to surrender the person to the Lord. Amen? Don't be taking that person to the cross and laying them on the cross. I surrender them to the cross. I bear them in baptism this day, God. Hallelujah. Oh. No, you surrender them, then the issue, the spiritual things, that's what you take to the burial. The spiritual things may be around the person that's affecting you. Amen? Make the distinction. Take them to the throne of grace. Lord, I separate this person from that issue. We surrender the person to God. Then we take the surrounding issues of their life that are affecting us. And we take our heart, we take all that, and we take it to the burial. Amen? You're getting yourself prepared for focus. I cannot focus if I'm wearing somebody's issues. I cannot focus if I'm wearing my issues. Amen? Same thing with you. You don't take yourself, Christ in you, and go bury you. You're taking your old man, the chaff, and bury me. You've got to get that stuff off of you because you cannot focus if you're wearing someone else's problems. Amen. You got to get all that off, and that stuff will start accumulating from the time you wake up sometime. How many of you ever woke up, and I mean within 5 minutes, things just start accumulating. Sometimes you wake up, it's fine. Other times, it'll just start accumulating on you. It's like, dang, that came fast. Once you get skilled at it, it doesn't matter what you're accumulating. You can get it off, praise God, because you get this confidence thing, and you understand how it works. Amen? So when you get that off, you bury that. When you come out of those waters, I go right back to the throne of grace. When I'm back to the throne of grace, I'll go through this washing thing I do with the waterfalls of the river. But after that, I'll go to the throne of grace. Now, this is where you get your eye, because this will determine your whole life right here. It'll determine where you go in the mountain of God. It'll determine where you get locked out, locked in. It'll determine your whole future, believe it or not. Your promotion will be determined with what you do with that eye. If you get that eye interwoven into him, you'll start your ascent into his mountain. If you start your ascent in his mountain, you're going to come out clothed. And you're going to come out filled. And you're going to come out with something you would have not gotten that day. And you will come out harmonized with him. And you will follow and be following him. Amen? And he will lead you into the rest, and he will lead you to life, and he will lead you into the Father's love, and he'll lead you into your promise. Amen? And life will level out for you, but if you don't get that eye under subjection and interwoven into him, the enemy's going to take the eye, and he's going to flood it with his system. And he's got a lot of stuff. It don't even have to be what you consider sin. He'll flood it with all manner of stuff to get you misaligned. Amen? Out of frequency. So when I'm thrown to grace, when I'm there, I am focused on focusing. I'm focused on getting my eye and my heart into focus because I know I can't move in the high places without focus. Because this part of this prayer requires all my attention, all my focus. Amen? So it's this one thing. So I've come in to dwell. The one thing I desire to dwell in the house and to behold. Now I have to get the eye in my heart into a beholding position with Christ. Now when I see him in the throne of grace, I don't see like a seer. I'll see through awareness. But I can see very clearly because that word is defined that awareness. Amen? Now when I'm there, I want to get this eye interwoven in him. The first thing I want to do is get it interwoven into his righteousness. I want to get synchronized with his righteousness. Paul said, I am found in him, not having my own righteousness. Amen. Don't matter how righteous you are, it never, his righteousness is like the great mountains. It's movable. His righteousness will never move. It's always solid. Go try to move one of those mountains in Colorado. That's what his righteousness is like. It's always just solid. Amen. So when I can get up in him, what I'm doing is I want to be aware that he's there, and I want to be aware that I'm starting to unionize with him. And I'll use these particular scriptures. I'll use, in you, Lord, I live. And I'll put my hands at the top of my heart because I want to get my focus into him. In you, I live and move. My mind's not out of here. My mind's starting to move into this imagery of him, my high priest. In you, I live and I move and I have my being in you. And what I see him doing is moving me into a union with him. I'm aware that he's starting to like bring a white robe of glory around me. I want to feel like I'm in him, not outside of him. But I want to feel like I'm unionized with him. I want to feel like I'm in a cocoon. I want to feel like I'm integrated, amen, in a cocoon with Christ. A lot of times what I'll do is I'll have this sensation that there's this big robe of glory and I'm like being wound up in it. Does that make sense? Because I want to get that basket, that interwoven effect. So a lot of times I'll feel like I'm just being interwoven, like I'm being rolled up into a sleeping bag like this. See that? Because what they're doing is getting all my focus and attention into him, and I'm getting wrapped up into him. I'm getting disharmonized from the world and harmonized with him. Isn't that good? And when I'm doing that, I feel like I'm being interwoven, and I'm in that robe's coming around me. I want that sensation. I'm in is right. In you, I live now. In you, I move. In you, I have my being. Does that make sense? That starts the process of the eye being focused into him. That starts the process of that eye of my heart being completely unionized with him, so it's not out there anymore. And the more you get, and I'm speaking, and I am practicing the awareness. I need to go to Philemon for a minute. You can do this for every part. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Even when I'm in the Jordan holding the promises, I'm not just speaking those. I'm there. I see it. I feel it. I know. I can feel the atmosphere around it. It's amazing. It's amazing how well you can actually see the kingdom when you actually practice it. Amen? Philemon. Verse 6, they let the communication of thy faith will always communicate. If you just pray and lay before the Lord, you're missing the best stuff. You have to communicate. It becomes effective by the acknowledging. So I'm going to acknowledge every good thing that's in me in Christ. That's why unworthiness, people that are unworthy, you gotta get that separated out, cause unworthiness will veil your whole spirit where you can't see anything good about yourself. And the fact is, you have to see what it is he sees. Not only you have to see it, you have to acknowledge it. You have to acknowledge the realms of his rest. You acknowledge these things, amen? Says, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. If I'm feeling unworthy, how am I going to acknowledge that? That's a position he's given me. Same thing with the rest. So as I acknowledge with focus, say focus, acknowledge every good thing, I cannot acknowledge properly without focus. How often are we there saying, I love you, God, and your mind is, you're really turned around somewhere else? So we do that because we're out of focus, see? What he wants is focus. What the Lord's there is to synchronize the focus. You can't get to the fullness of the Father without that. That's why so many people can't get to the Father. They don't get a synchronized focus to move up to the fullness. You won't get to the Father on a consistent basis. Let me say it that way. But if you let him harmonize the focus where he can get you solidified into him. Amen. In that focus position, he can move you into the, what we call the lily's grace. He can move you into the tree of life. He can move you into the Father's love. And more importantly, what I want to say tonight, He can literally cause you, he can issue you or mandate you with a faith assignment can shift a generation. And that faith assignment, he'll get you excited about it, but you might be in there for a while. But he doesn't tell you that in the beginning. But if you have that focused awareness, long after all the excitement's gone, and long after you've preached it 100 times, you're still standing there. Long after people have forgotten about it, you haven't. Long after the enemy has come once, twice, 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times, 7 times, you're still there. Why? Because every day I can move back into the focused position. I can unload what the enemy did, reload into the rest, reload into life, reload into love, and stand back in the Jordan, stand there with this word and not be moved. And you can actually, it's like, how did we do this for 11 months? And how are we still here all this time with the same faith we started with? It's amazing. It's because of focus. If I didn't have the focus, the enemy would have sidetracked my faith. I would have got discouraged when he got me into something else. He does it all the time. How many of you heard of neutralized by good intentions? One of my spiritual fathers, Gary Carpenter, is a revelation he got, but it's very powerful. He uses an example the Lord was teaching him. He said that there's this man, he developed an anointing upon his life, and he had this incredible desire to see deaf people healed. It was the desire of his life. It's what he lives for, to see deaf people healed. Now you have a good, you have an acceptable, and you have a perfect will of God. So as he began his ascent into God, he began into the Word, he began developing the Word, he could see that Jesus was the healer, and he would constantly go after it. And because that anointing didn't arrive at the time he wanted to, he began to shift. And he started studying means and ways by which he could develop certain technologies to allow deaf people to hear better. And as he began to shift more and more and more, he actually began to build a business developing these ear monitors. And as he began to develop these ear monitors, he spent his whole life helping the deaf, but lived outside of the perfect will of God. Did God lead him to that? What happens is the enemy will divert our attention. And if he can divert our focus, he'll get us to focus on what we can do, not what God can do. He'll get us to focus away from the realm of the impossible, because the realm of impossible, it requires a level of faith that we're not always ready to pay the price for. It's easier just to shift into something we can do. Does that make sense? And so what happens is the eye of his heart got honed in on developing a technology, and he spent his whole life developing a technology and become wealthy, the whole thing, but he missed it, because what God's true plan was for him is to stay the course, stay in there. Let me lead you to the place where the creative realm lives that can have all deaf people healed supernaturally. To stay the course. How come he can stay the Lord? Because his eye of his faith, the eye of his heart got shifted. That's what happens. I had this along this journey before I learned this particular part of it. Man, the enemy would constantly offset because we were after the crown. And I can't tell you how many times he put a business in front of me. He put an opportunity. And it was just golden. But we went one thing after another, and it was very costly mistakes, because we just knew it was God. This is the way the crown's going to come. And we would step into it, and then the enemy would, as soon as we stepped in, he came in and just, you know what? To this day, I thank God he did not allow us to prosper. Because had he allowed us to prosper, I would have never found what we're standing for today. There's something so far greater than what man can do. Literally accessing the crown that's going to shift the whole world. That comes from a singularly interwoven focus Well, that was my journey. What is your journey? Our journey. What is the journey? What is the position? What is God wanting you to find? Because it's a mystery you have to walk out. And that mystery can only be found by a focused eye continually being yielded to Him every day. And as it yielded, He takes you one step further. As it yielded, one step further. And then we get out of a line and we go around this mountain. I can't believe I'm doing this right now. We go around this mountain, however long it takes us to get back, and then we get back. That little lap right there can last 5 minutes. That lap can last 5 years, 5 months. It can last months. Where you were just so there, and all of a sudden, you're just walking around. Where these words were like gold to you. Now it's like, yeah, yeah. You lose that focus, and without the focus, none of this means anything. Your life doesn't mean anything. And once you lose the focus, all that you had there, suddenly it gets, you forget about it real fast, how glorious it is. Have you ever had that when you got off the mountain? It was so glorious, and you were popping, and you went around those laps, and you're over here somewhere, and you forgot how glorious that is over there. You forgot. Until one day you get awakened. And you're back. I'm back. And you're all of a sudden you're awake and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I missed this place. You didn't have to take that lap. But you have to take a few of those to learn. Amen. But if you can keep that eye and let Him hone it, you won't take laps like that anymore. Not very many. You'll stay in a focused position, and what happens, He'll start leading you to His perfect will to manifest a 100-fold glory in this earth. Listen, we as a little body have been in this little training tank for a long time, but this thing is going to shift so marvelously right before our eyes. We're on the verge of seeing the Lord in His manifested glory and having this apostolic office confirmed from heaven. Everything's going to shift. The way we do church is going to shift. Amen? Keep your eye in a state of focus. Everything you do on a given day to fight for that focus is a fight well deserved. Because if you don't fight, listen to me, if you don't get anything what I said tonight, if you don't fight for your focus, you're going to take a lap, whether you like it or not. Because if you don't fight to keep it, you already are about to take a lap, and you just don't know. And if you don't fight for it, you might be in your lap right now. If you don't fight, you'll take a lap. That is everything. Because that focus can take you to God every day and take you all the way to the top of the mountain. And you'll find that that is the most valuable thing you possess. Because without it, you can't move. You can't dwell and function in the high places. Amen? Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Let you all stand for a minute. Put your hand over your heart. We're just going to go to the throne of grace together here. Say, Father, we thank you. We come just by faith. We step into your throne, Lord. We step into the throne of grace. You are the high priest. You are the one who reconciles us, harmonizes us. Tunes our frequency in. Tonight, today, we give you the most valuable thing we possess, our focus. The focus of our heart could be anywhere. We bring it to you. Not just our heart, but the focused heart. Lord, we ask you tonight, Father, we ask you tonight. Lord, I ask you to circumcise the veils of our heart. To circumcise the poneris eye of distraction, harassment, toil, labor, heavinesses, cloudiness, depressions, unworthiness, rejections. That you would circumcise all that stands between us and the singularly interwoven eye of the heart, interwoven into you. Father, tonight, corporately, I ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that the eye of our heart be flooded with light, light from your word, light from this amazing place of abiding, light that comes from union with you, the light of life, the light that comes from the Lily's grace, the massive light that comes from the love of the Father. For in you is light. God is light, and there is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light, as you are in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all sin. From the Poneris eye. Tonight, we give you the eye of our heart. It is what's precious. The eye, the focused eye of the heart, is more precious and valuable to you than anything else, because our will follow it. We give you that which is valuable instead of the world to occupy our heart. We give it to you to occupy, for you to take the residence, that we can truly come to the place, Lord, to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. And our whole body will be flooded with the light of that position. Our whole being will constantly be flooded with light till we move to the fullness of transfiguration light. That you'll move us all the way to transfiguration light. Light, our original mandated image, the light of God, the rest of God, the love of God, the glory that comes from your life, the mandated clothing, the mandated image. Clothe us tonight. Circumcise the eye. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, present your eye every day for circumcision. Present it to me for circumcision. And I will remove the veils. And I will keep your eye. And I will keep you as the apple of mine eye. Father, I thank you. I'm reminded of Catherine Kuhlman, what she said when I was listening to her Sunday after service. What she said was her greatest attribute ever. Greater than the anointing, greater than the glory, greater than the miracles, was she kept you as the apple of her eye. She never, ever, ever relented from that place. She lived a honed, compassed life to keep you as the apple of her eye. Always. And she never let anything or anyone occupy that place. This is what we aspire to now, Lord. To give you the eye of our heart and to make you the apple of our eye every day. To keep you as the apple, to keep you as precious. To not let our eye be interwoven in the world and dull the senses. To not live in a cloudy, dulled sensory life, to keep you in the glory. You're our refuge. Shelter us now, Lord, under the shadow of your wings. Shelter.